to hide from you is usually the one thing you need to find. That's only true if I'm not the one trying to hide something from you, though. If I tell you to knock it off, I mean it. Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up.
16. Landon and I remain wrapped around one another for at least 5 minutes. We didn't glance up until someone cleared a throat behind us.
Now is not a good time,
Landon growled, tightening his arm around my shoulder.
I can't tell you how ticked off I am at you guys right now.
What did we do? Thistle protested. Landon stiffened.
Well, for starters, you bolted and left Beta Femme for herself. Way to be loyal.
Hey, you were terrifying, Thistle said.
We thought she was right behind us,
Marcus offered sincerely.
I didn't realize she wasn't until we were already on the terrace, and by then we had another problem.
Whatever, Landon grumbled. You still left her in there. What if she'd been hurt?
Were you going to hurt her? Thistle asked.
You didn't know it was me, Landon said. By the way, in my head I was talking regularly, but it kept coming out in growls. I wasn't trying to frighten you.
I know, I said, pulling my face away to steady him. Are you hurt?
I'm fine. Are you hurt?
I was so worried about you, I said. When I woke up, you were gone.
I'm so sorry,
Landon said, cupping my chin.
I shouldn't have promised I would be there when we woke up. This world doesn't give us the luxury of keeping promises.
It's not as if I thought you walked away on purpose, I said. Landon arched an eyebrow. I didn't, I said. Not this time. It didn't even enter my head.
That's good, Bay,
Landon said.
No one is leaving. Not again.
I snorted. Don't say that just yet, I said. We're trapped in a fairy tale world, but we still don't have control.
I know,
Landon said.
I wasn't talking about here, though.
I rested my forehead against his briefly. I know. Landon pressed me to his chest as he rolled us to a different position. He climbed to his feet and pulled me along with him, never letting go of me. When we were standing, the look he shot Marcus was chilling.
I'm not thrilled with you right now. What did you expect me to do?
Marcus asked.
She ran right into danger. She wasn't the only one here.
I know that,
Landon said.
I also know that Thistle is your first priority. You still left her.
Marcus's cheeks colored with shame.
I'm sorry. Clove ran and Sam ran after her. Then Thistle took off and instinct took over. I swear I thought Bay was right behind us. I wouldn't have abandoned her.
I know,
Landon said, running his hand over the back of my head.
I heard you during the fight.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it,
Landon said coldly.
We're all fine. We're all getting out of here.
Landon, I really am sorry,
Marcus said.
I told you not to worry about it,
Landon said.
We're all exhausted. We're all frustrated. I want out of here.
Where do we go next? Thistle asked, linking her fingers with Marcus's as she rested her head against his shoulder in a sign of solidarity.
The castle,
Landon said. How do you know that? I asked.
It's a feeling. I think the castle is our end location. We have to figure out how many fairy tales we're talking about here.
Let's go, I said, slipping my arm around his waist. Are you sure you're not hurt?
The second I changed back, all my aches and pains went away,
Landon said, kissing my forehead.
Well, except one. You're here, though. You're fixing that one.
I wanted to cry again. Landon.
No, Bay, not now,
he said.
We're okay. Everyone is okay. Let's finish this. I want to go home.
All right, I said. Let's do it.
We'll be right behind you,
Marcus said. Landon ignored the proffered promise.
What happened to the talking candlestick?
I shrugged, unsure. The busy room from before was different now. The candlestick was gone. The broomstick, devoid of life, leaned against the wall. The cobwebs and decay had been replaced with a bright and shiny cleaning. It was the same castle, yet everything was different.
What do you think?
Landon asked. I don't know, I said. We still have a few stories to go through. This doesn't jump out as anything I recognize.
Maybe we're done,
Clove suggested.
Maybe we only have to find a way out.
No, I said, shaking my head. There's no way we're getting out of here without a nod to Wonderland and Oz, I said. Those were Aunt Tilly's favorites. There's a reason we haven't hit them yet. They're going to be the big finale.
How do you know that?
Thistle asked. It's Aunt Tilly. She's not going to let us out of here without forcing us to go through these stories.
Is that how you knew how to beat the giant?
Clove asked.
I couldn't believe you did that, and yet as you were saying the words, I realized I remembered them.
I'm not sure how I remembered to beat the giant, I said. I only know that I realized the beast was Landon before I decided to fight the giant. Once I realized it was him, I didn't have a choice.
You had another choice,
Landon said. No, I didn't. Landon's face softened.
You're my brave girl.
He pulled me in for a brief hug.
If this was the real world, though, I'd be yelling at you for risking yourself.
I know.
Since this is a fairy tale world, I'm going to give you a pass.
Thanks.
Are you saying what you think I want to hear because you don't want to argue?
Landon asked. I smiled. You're very handsome. Landon grinned.
That's what I thought.
He leaned over and gave me a soft kiss.
I desperately need to get out of this place. Not only do I need breakfast, I need to make sure we have a day in bed to recuperate.
What about punishing Aunt Tilly?
We'll do that first,
Landon said, winking. Good to know. The room lapsed into silence, everyone searching for clues to our next destination. When a hint of movement caught my attention on the far wall, I shifted my head and focused on the shadow. It looked like the plant in front of the window, and yet there was more to it. I narrowed my eyes and focused, sucking in a breath when the shadow moved on its own accord. I tilted my head to the side, steadying the shadow. I risked a glance over my shoulder, but nothing moved behind me. When I glanced back at the wall, the person had moved away from the plant and now stood alone. It was also in the shape of a person. Guys?
What's up, sweetie?
Landon asked, moving to my side. I pointed at the shadow, which refused to move.
What am I looking at?
Landon asked, confused. The shadow is moving. Landon focused on it.
No, it's not.
It was. Landon shifted so he could look over my shoulder, and the second he did, the shadow waved at me. It froze again when Landon turned back.
There's nothing there moving.
No, I agreed. The second you turned your head, though, it waved at me.
It did?
Yep.
It's basing things now?
Thistle asked, smirking.
No one is talking to you,
Landon snapped. He was angry. It practically rolled off of him. He was trying to control himself, at least delay an argument, but I was the only one he wasn't angry with right now. That was a nice change of pace. The shadow moved again.
There! I saw it,
Thistle said, giving Landon a wide berth as she moved around him and settled on my other side. We exchanged an eyebrow lift and then focused back on the shadow. It was playing a game, jumping from one shadow to the next and then poking its head out the way at us.
What do we think this means? Sam asked.
It's Peter Pan, I said.
Does that mean we're going to Neverland?
Sam looked excited at the prospect.
Sorry, I just loved that story when I was a kid.
It always reminded me of Lord of the Flies.
What?
Sam was incensed.
How can you say that?
A bunch of boys on an island with nothing to do but cause trouble,
Thistle replied dryly. It's total anarchy.
You obviously didn't get the point of the story,
Sam said. She has a point, I said. I think Peter Pan, just like the Lord of the Flies, is a cautionary tale of what happens to men if they don't have women in their lives to temper the crazy. Landon barked out a hoarse laugh.
That's kind of funny. That's not true, though,
Sam protested.
Peter Pan is a great role model.
He wears tights and tempts kids out of their bedrooms at night so they can terrify their parents into thinking someone kidnapped them,
Thistle countered.
Then they fly to a land where no one wants to grow up, and you're either a pirate who doesn't care about killing kids, or a kid who has nothing better to do than terrorize adults. That doesn't sound healthy to me.
I could tell Landon was fighting the urge to smile, his anger with Thistle and especially Marcus still at the forefront of his mind. but he was having a good time watching Thistle crush Sam's childhood dreams. The shadow dove to the dark spot on the far wall, and this time, when it poked out, it beckoned to us.
I think it wants us to follow it,
Clove said.
Do you think we should?
I think we're going to set these last stories up and knock them down, I said, resolved. This is the next one. Let's get to it. Landon grabbed my hand as I started to move.
Don't you even think about stepping away from me,
he said.
We're doing this together.
Of course we are, I said. I couldn't do this without you.
I feel like puking, Thistle said.
Don't push me, Thistle,
Landon warned. No one push anyone, I said. We're close here, people. We only had to stick together for a little bit longer. Let's not fall apart now.
Fine,
Landon said through his clenched jaw.
When this is over with, though, I want a whole day of just you and me. I don't want to see a single member of your family. I'm talking 24 hours.
We'll go to a hotel, I promised.
You bet we're going to a hotel,
Landon said.
You're going to pay, too.
Okay.
We're getting nothing but room service,
Landon said, pulling me as he started to follow the shadow.
We're getting breakfast in bed, lunch in bed, and dinner in bed.
That sounds fun, Clove said. Maybe we'll go with you.
Sam shot her a quelling look.
Maybe not, Clove said quickly. Sorry.
I'm not joking, Bay, Landon said. We need a break from all of this togetherness.
Maybe you should go to the hotel alone, I suggested. You don't look too happy with me right now.
You're the only thing making me happy right now. Never doubt that.
Okay, does anyone think this is the weirdest setting yet?
Thistle leaned over and rested her hand against the giant toadstool, snatching it away after a few seconds of contact.
That feels funny.
It's a giant mushroom,
Landon said.
What did you expect it to feel like?
I don't know,
Thistle said, ignoring his sarcasm.
It looks like it's made out of plastic. I thought it would feel smooth.
It smells, Clove said.
It's a mushroom,
Landon said.
I wish we had our phones, Thistle said. I would love a cool photo on top of the toadstool.
It's a giant mushroom.
Landon was beside himself. After following the shadow through the labyrinth of hallways and out a side door of the castle, we'd spent the last 10 minutes studying the peculiar setting. The shadow disappeared, which meant whatever was supposed to happen would occur in this area. I was almost sure of it.
Which story is this?
Landon asked. I'm not sure yet.
Why is nothing happening?
I don't know.
What do you know?
I know you're upset, I said, setting my hand on his forearm. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry,
Landon said, shaking his head.
This isn't your fault. I did this.
How do you figure that?
I'm the one who threatened her,
Landon said, rubbing his forehead.
I'm the one who promised to confiscate her wine. She probably would have ignored us if I hadn't been so harsh.
You shouldn't blame yourself for doing your job, I said. Aunt Tilly is the one at fault here, not you.
She's right, Thistle said. Aunt Tilly knew what she was doing was wrong. That's why she tried to hide it. If she thought she was in the right, she would have told everyone what she was doing. She likes to brag.
I'm sorry I'm being so cranky,
Landon said.
This situation is out of our control. I don't like Bay being in danger. I don't like any of us being in danger. It feels as though this thing is never going to end.
It's going to end, I said. I think we have only two left.
Which two?
Wonderland and Oz.
Which one is this?
Landon asked. I jumped back when a huge rabbit barreled between us, the furry beast tripping over the toadstool and hitting the ground hard on the other side.
Who put that there?
The rabbit asked, flummoxed.
Has someone been rearranging the furniture?
Thistle's face split with a wide grin.
This is the best one?
Landon scowled.
Wonderland?
I nodded. This was always Thistle's favorite story.
I have to keep moving,
the rabbit said.
I'm running behind. This is not good. This is so not good.
The rabbit glanced at us, irritated.
Put that toadstool back where you found it.
We all watched slack-jawed as the rabbit got back to his feet and hurried around the corner of the house.
Follow that rabbit,
Thistle instructed, breaking into a run.
Hurry, I don't want to miss this one.
Well, at least someone is excited,
Landon said, grabbing my hand.
If you're right, once we get through this one, there's only one left.
I think I'm right.
I have faith in you,
Landon said.
Let's go. If we don't keep an eye on Thistle, she's going to molest that rabbit,
he said.
Did you see the look on her face when she saw it?
It is kind of cool, I said, following Landon. Don't tell me you don't think it's cool.
I'm beyond anything being cool in this world, he said. The only thing I'm going to find cool in the foreseeable future is a bath, a bed, and a plate full of bacon.
I'll make sure you get all three of them, I said.
We're going to get all three of them together,
Landon said.
No one is in this alone, especially you and me.
Tea doesn't constitute a party, unless there's bourbon in the cup, too. Now that's a party. You can't go to those types of parties yet. Forget I told you that. Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up.
17. By the time we rounded the corner of the castle, Thistle had a significant lead on us. Marcus broke into a run to catch up with her, while Landon and I slowed our approach to give ourselves time to study the outrageous tableau.
What is that?
Sam asked, confused. I smiled. It's a tea party.
There are a lot of animals standing on 2 feet and kind of hanging out, Sam said.
It's Wonderland, I said. Nothing is normal.
What's the lesson in this one?
Landon asked. I racked my brain trying to prod a memory forward. All I remember about this one is that Aunt Tilly doesn't believe that a tea party is a real party unless people are slipping bourbon into the teacups.
Landon snorted. That sounds about right. She's got her fingerprints all over this world.
What should we do? Clove asked, worried. We're never going to be able to tear this away from this one.
It's Aunt Tilly's world, I reminded her. Nothing is as it seems, and nothing is safe. This might look like a tea party, but there's a lot more going on in Wonderland besides tea.
That's true, Clove said. What do you want to do?
We have to join the party, I said. That's where this is all going to begin.
I'm worried about where it's going to end,
Clove said. She wasn't the only one. I led Landon to one of the tables, pulling out a chair and directing him to sit while I kept an eye on Thistle. She was having a great time chatting up a turtle. Marcus was beside her, and his eyes were busy scanning for hidden threats. After a few seconds, I realized Landon wasn't sitting. Instead, he stood next to me, an unreadable expression on his face. What? I asked.
You just pulled my chair out,
Landon said. So?
I'm still the prince. I pull your chair out,
he said, pushing my hand away. Oh, you're so macho, I grumbled.
If that's how you want to think about me, that's fine.
Landon pulled my chair out and gestured to it.
M'lady?
I rolled my eyes, but took the seat. This wasn't worth arguing about. Landon settled next to me, unfolding the cloth napkin and looking around.
What do you think we're waiting for?
I'm not really sure yet, I said. There are a lot of different parts in that book, and there are technically 2 books. Aunt Tilly could have picked any part of them to incorporate into her book. I remember Thistle was always correcting Aunt Tilly when she told us Wonderland stories, I continued. Thistle was like a film critic who couldn't stand when the director broke from the source material. It totally ticked her off.
Thistle doesn't strike me as a fairy tale kid,
Landon said, reaching for the pot of tea.
Do you think it's safe to drink this?
I nodded, watching as he poured my cup and then his own. What do you mean?
I always associate fairy tales with girly girls,
he said. Do you associate fairy tales with me?
Are you asking whether I think of you as a girly girl?
I don't know, I said. I don't know what answer would freak me out more.
Sometimes I try to picture you as a kid,
Landon said.
All I see is long blonde hair and pigtails. I see you running in the woods, and I see you wrestling around with Thistle. I don't see dresses or dolls or tiaras.
That's probably good, I said. I never liked any of those things.
That's what I figured,
Landon said, sipping his tea.
Thistle wasn't like that either, was she?
No.
What about Clove?
I looked to the next table, smiling when I saw Clove and Sam talking with a giant squirrel. Clove likes dolls and dresses, I said. At a certain point, she tried to pretend she didn't because she wanted to be like Thistle and me.
Sounds like her.
I don't think it was fair to her, though, I said. I often wonder whether Clove would have been better off with 2 cousins who weren't so
overbearing. I don't think of you as overbearing, Landon said. Don't get me wrong, you have your moments. Given how overbearing some of the other women in your life are, and yes, I'm referring to Thistle and Aunt Tilly, you're much mellower than you have any business being.
I don't know, I shrugged. It's hard to look back at your childhood without regret.
I don't think you should regret anything, Landon said. I think you turned out pretty terrific.
You do?
I don't know any other woman who would take on a giant and kiss a hairy monster on faith alone.
You're right, I said. I am pretty great.
Landon's grin was adorable.
You are.
He leaned forward and rubbed his nose against mine briefly.
I'm so ready to get us out of here.
You and me both.
Oh, Craig, look who it is.
I froze when I heard the voice, turning my head from Landon and focusing on the three bears standing at the other side of the table.
Oh, hey. I see you found a friend,
Sheila said, hoisting her impressive girth onto one of the metal bistro chairs.
We were worried about you after you left.
I wasn't worried, Sebastian said. I was hoping something ate you.
Landon made a face.
Do you want to introduce me to your friends?
Sure, I said. This is Craig, Sheila, and Sebastian. They're the bears I was telling you about. This is Landon. He's my boyfriend.
Oh, that's nice,
Craig said, sitting next to his wife.
Did you know that your girlfriend climbed into our beds last night?
I heard,
Landon said, leaning back in his chair and slinging an arm around my shoulders.
She's always been adventurous.
Is that code for something?
Sebastian asked.
Not really.
Your girlfriend jumped in strangers' beds, Sebastian said. That doesn't sound like a very good girlfriend.
We've moved on from it, Landon said, changing tactics. We had a big fight, but now we're over it. She was only doing it to make me jealous.
I had to sleep on the couch because of her, Sebastian complained.
Let it go, son. It's in the past, Craig said.
I didn't know you were invited to this party, I said. Do you know who's hosting it?
Don't you?
Sheila asked. I'm guessing it's the Mad Hatter, I said. Am I right? Sheila tilted her head to the side and gave what passed for a smile.
Not exactly.
I didn't like her tone.
I have to ask you guys something, I said, lifting my hand and rubbing Landon's fingers as they idly moved across my shoulder.
Do you know you're in a book?
Of course we know we're in a book, Sheila said. We're not stupid.
Do we know we're in a book?
Craig chortled.
For a human, you're cute.
Do you know who wrote the book?
The most wonderful scribe in the land, Sebastian said.
And who is that?
The great and powerful Tilly,
Sebastian replied, solemn.
I knew it, I said, pumping my fist. I told you Wonderland and Oz were the last ones.
You're very wise, sweetie, Landon said, topping off my cup of tea.
Have you ever met the great and powerful Tilly, I asked.
No, Sheila said. They say if you look upon her in the flesh, you'll never be seen again.
That sounded like her. It really did. Is Tilly hosting this tea party? Hey, I can hope.
Of course not, Craig said. The great and powerful Tilly doesn't drink tea unless it's laced with bourbon. Plus, she's very busy. She runs the entire land.
From where?
Here.
I glanced around. The castle?
Sheila nodded. This is her home.
I thought this was the beast's home, I said.
What beast?
It seems some tales have problems crossing over. How long has Tilly been in charge of this land?
Since it was created,
Craig said. And when was that?
When the world started,
Craig said. But when?
Back when she started it,
Craig said, flustered.
What are you trying to do here?
Landon asked, keeping his voice low.
Are you trying to agitate the bears?
No, I said. I'm trying to find out whether they have a sense of time.
Why?
Because they're self-aware, I said. They're not real, but in a way they're self-aware. The thought of them, winking out of existence, makes me a little sad.
they.
It's okay, I said. I'm not an idiot. I know I can't change this. I'm trying to get a feeling for what's going on.
Okay, Landon said. But I don't want you to have a broken heart when we finally get out of here. That's going to be one of the happiest moments of my life. I don't want you feeling sad about anything.
I glanced at him, curious. What are the other happiest times of your life?
Are you fishing for a compliment?
No, I said. I honestly want to know.
Well, the first Christmas, I remember I got a new bike,
he said.
I remember going down the stairs and seeing it and thinking that nothing could ever be better than that. Then the first time I was pretty exciting.
I made a face.
Not nearly as exciting as you, sweetie.
He teased. You're still charming, I said.
I try.
What else? I prodded.
The day I graduated from high school. The day I was recruited into the Bureau. The day I met you.
You hated me the day we met, I said. You thought I was mouthy and in your way.
That's not true,
Landon said.
I liked you from the moment I saw you.
You're making that up.
I'm not,
Landon said.
That was truly one of the greatest moments of my life. Do you want to know what the single greatest moment of my life was, though?
I waited.
The night you told me you loved me.
My cheeks colored and I lowered my gaze. Oh.
What about you?
Landon asked.
What was your greatest moment?
Right now, I said, averting my gaze. Landon exhaled heavily.
We seriously need to get out of here,
he said.
There are so many things I'd rather be doing right now, and not one of them involves having tea with bears. No offense.
None taken, Sheila said. I love seeing young people in love. I really hope you survive the sacrifice. Thank you for saying that, I said, warmth washing over me. Wait, what did you say? I hope you survived the sacrifice, Sheila repeated. We hear it's going to be a real bloodbath this year. That's why we came, Sebastian said. We love a good blood sacrifice. What do you mean? I asked. Who is going to sacrifice who?
The Queen, of course, Craig said. It's her annual tea. She always sacrifices the humans when she hosts a tea.
Crap. Here was the twist on Wonderland. I gripped Landon's hand. We need to get out of here, I said. I have a bad feeling about this.
I'm right there with you,
Landon said, jumping to his feet.
We need to bypass this one right now and get into the castle. That's where we're going to find the last story. I think we're done with this one.
I scanned the crowd. Do you see anyone else?
I got distracted. I stopped watching them,
Landon said. I jerked my head back and forth, studying the assembled animals. Do you notice we're the only humans left?
I'm guessing that's a bad sign,
Landon said. I'm guessing that's the worst sign ever, I said. We have to move. I reached for his hand, but when I met air, I swiveled quickly, panicking. The rabbit was back, and he had a knife at Landon's throat.
Did you move that toadstool back? I didn't think so. I can't stand furniture movers.
Let him go, I ordered.
I can't do that,
the rabbit said.
The pleasure of your company is requested for a very special meeting with the Queen.
I ran my tongue over my teeth, conflicted. Had Clove, Thistle, Marcus, and Sam already been taken? Was I the only one left standing? Could I fight everyone on my own? I gave in. Take me to your Queen.
Run, Bay,
Landon ordered.
Don't do this.
You said it yourself, I said. We're in this together.
But...
I shook my head. We're in this together. The rabbit smiled, unleashing a row of razor-sharp teeth.
Follow me.
I'll be right behind you. The rabbit never released Landon as he led us through a thick tangle of trees. In the grand scheme of things, the trek was short. It felt longer because my mind was so busy. How were we going to get out of this one? Once the trees thinned, we found ourselves in a huge clearing. A large and garish throne, all yellow gold and red velvet, sat empty in the middle of the space, a handful of armored guards standing at either side. Sam and Clove were on their knees on the side of the throne, two guards watching over them. Thistle and Marcus were in the same position on the other side. I met Thistle's worried gaze from across the expanse.
We were in trouble now. Where's the queen? I asked.
She doesn't show herself until all the sacrifices are in place. You two are the last ones,
the rabbit said. Awesome, I said. I can't wait to meet her. I've heard a lot about her.
I'm sure you have,
the rabbit said.
Move up to that spot between the other two couples and kneel.
Don't you dare kneel, Bay, Landon said.
The rabbit pulled a knife closer to Landon's throat.
Don't make me hurt him.
I'll kneel, I said. Just don't hurt him. Landon scowled, watching me move to the designated spot. I dropped to my knees. By the time Landon was deposited next to me, two guards were already in place to make sure we didn't make a break for it.
You should have run, Landon said.
I'm not leaving you.
You're not going to think that's such a good idea if we die here,
he said. We're not going to die here.
How can you be sure?
I have faith.
That's good, Landon said, because here comes the queen.
I lifted my head, frowning as the imposing figure cut a swath through the armored guards and headed for the throne. Her dress was wider than it was tall, and the red was so bright and tacky it hurt my eyes to gaze upon it. It was the face at the top of the dress that blew me, though. You've got to be kidding me, I said, my heart rolling. The woman started to speak.
I am the Queen of Hearts. You are here to serve as my sacrifices.
Oh, come on, I said. I can't be killed by my own mother. I'm going to kill Aunt Tilly.
Sometimes the person you think is your enemy is actually your friend. Sometimes your enemy is your enemy, though. When in doubt, go ahead and curse with impunity. You can always sort out the mess later.
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up. 18.
Why is your mother the Queen of Hearts?
Thistle asked, horrified.
She would kill Aunt Tilly if she saw that dress. She looks as though she has the hips of a horse. No, it's more like the hips of four horses.
I had a feeling I knew exactly why Mom was taking on one of the most bloodthirsty children's tale roles of all time. Who was Aunt Tilly furious with before we left the inn last night? Is this the last night? It's as if we're stuck in a nightmare that refuses to quit. I have no concept of time.
She was angry with Landon,
Thistle said.
He threatened to confiscate her wine.
How did he even know about it, though? Who told on her?
Oh, Thistle said, realization dawning. Right now, she sees your mother as the one who betrayed her. She expected Landon to be the bad guy because he's with the Fuzz. She didn't expect it from our mothers. Is anyone else afraid to find out what she did to our mothers?
I'm sure it was just as creative as this, I said.
Do you think she put them into a book, too?
If she did, I'm betting it was a terrible book, I said.
Like Dracula?
She probably put them in that new The Walking Dead graphic novel collection she bought last week, Clove said. She's been obsessed with zombies lately.
Wow, that was an interesting thought. Maybe Mom and my aunts had it worse than us after all.
I would rather be in a zombie book, Landon said. At least then I'd probably have a gun. I really feel like shooting someone right now.
Mom?
Landon shrugged, reticent.
Maybe. Don't ever tell her I said that.
Your secret is safe with me.
Are you done with your little conversation?
Mom asked, her voice shrill as she glared at us. I felt as though I was 8 years old again and we'd just gotten caught plotting how to steal fresh cookies from the kitchen counter.
We have a bit of a schedule to stick to here.
A schedule?
I have a long speech to make,
Mom said.
I like to talk and talk and talk, even when no one wants to listen. That's the way I am. Then I have to behead you. After that, I have a tea to get to.
Does anyone else find it funny that even while we're trapped in a book, Aunt Winnie is working from a schedule? Clove asked.
She's a control freak, Thistle said. They're all control freaks. I like how she's describing herself, just as Aunt Tilly would, though.
You guys are control freaks, too, Sam said. Don't kid yourselves.
Hey!
Clove shot him a look.
I am not a control freak.
You spent 2 hours rearranging the shells in Hypnotic back to the way they were before Thistle dusted the other day,
Sam said nonplussed.
Everything was still on the same shelf, only slightly off, and you were dancing like you had ants in your pants waiting for Thistle to leave the store so you could fix everything just the way you like it.
I knew it, Thistle seethed, shifting so she could stare at Clove.
I told you those shells looked different when I came back from the stables, and you said I was imagining things. You're a freak.
Those shelves are immaculate now,
Clove sniffed.
I don't know what you're complaining about.
They were immaculate when I got done with them, Thistle said.
Not really.
When we get out of here, you're dead to me, Thistle said.
What else is new?
I agree that Clove is a control freak like our mothers,
Thistle said, scorching her with a look.
I'm not a control freak, though.
You're the worst one, Landon said. Only you feel the need to control people, not things.
Whatever, Thistle grumbled. You're the bossy one.
I'm not bossy,
Landon shot back. He looked to me for help.
Handsome, I supplied.
You're supposed to say I'm not bossy,
Landon said.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted me to lie, I said.
If I had a list, you'd be at the top of it right now,
Landon said. I couldn't help but smile. I'd be happy to be at the top of your list.
See, now you're cute again.
Landon leaned over and kissed me.
What's going on here?
Mom's voice was unnaturally shrill.
You're about to be sacrificed and you're having a good time?
Landon dissolved into hearty guffaws as he shifted from his knees to his rear end and sat on the grass. He laughed so hard his shoulders shook.
Landon has officially lost it. He's been pushed too far. His mind has shattered.
Are you all right? I asked, worried. He did look a little deranged.
This has been one of the worst nights of my life,
he said, running his hand through his disheveled hair.
I've been hit on by a foul-mouthed mermaid. I had to shove an unconscious witch into an oven. I've lost my girlfriend and had to steal her back from some ponce in tights who stole her shoe and scream like a woman. I've been turned into a beast and had to fight a giant,
he continued.
I seriously thought my heart was going to rip in two when Bae put herself in danger. But then she was the one who saved me. Then I had tea with some bears, and now my girlfriend's mother is going to be ahead of us.
Yep, he's lost it,
Clove said.
This has been one of the best nights of my life.
I raised my eyebrows. It has?
I saw you dress like a princess, and I got to carry you around, Landon said. I got to watch Thistle stab a wolf while wearing a red cloak. You figured out I was a monster and still wanted to kiss me. We've gotten to talk and hang out and spend time together. Sure, climbing the beanstalk was terrible, and I'm really not looking forward to being beheaded. But I wouldn't trade the time I've spent with you tonight for anything, he said.
I think I might cry, I said.
Me too,
Clove said, putting her hand to her heart. She used her free hand to punch Sam in the arm.
How come you never say romantic things like that to me?
I think I'm going to puke, Thistle said. I can't believe that you're making some grand pronouncement now. Can't you help us get out of the situation and then get all schmaltzy? You and I are cut from the same cloth,
Mom said, pointing at Thistle.
That was utterly ridiculous.
I told you that you were becoming a villain, I said when Thistle balked.
I am not a villain,
Thistle said, placing her hands on her hips and shaking her head angrily.
Just because you like things the way you like them does not make you a villain. Am I mean? Yes. I don't always mean to be. I can't control what comes out of my mouth sometimes.
That's a family trait, Marcus said. I wouldn't worry about it.
That's not the point, Thistle said.
What is the point? I asked.
The point is I'm not a villain, Thistle said. I'm a complicated princess.
Oh, you're definitely a princess,
Marcus said, running his hand over her short, cropped hair and pulling her over so he could kiss her forehead.
You're the best princess ever.
Oh, now I'm jealous of Thistle and Marcus,
Clove complained.
I always treat you like a princess, Sam said. I resent you going all pouty when these two spout platitudes because I'm always making romantic pronouncements. I read you poetry the other night and then watched The Notebook with you. I never complained once. I've always been your prince.
Clove sighed.
You have. I'm sorry.
I can't believe this!
Mom shrieked.
You're supposed to be focusing on me! I'm the center of attention here! I am the queen!
Do you think that's how Aunt Tilly really sees your mom?
Thistle asked.
Do you think she sees her as the despot in our little fiefdom, and she's always bossing her around?
I think Aunt Tilly has a warped sense of the world, I said. I think this is exactly how she sees Mom, though.
How do you think she sees my mom?
Thistle asked.
She's the court jester,
Landon said, grinning. Thistle made a face, but it didn't last long.
I can see that.
Now that you've all played kissy face and whatever it is you're doing, can we please get back to the issue at hand?
Mom demanded.
I have a schedule!
Here's my schedule, I said, pushing myself on the ground and dusting off the seat of my pants. We're done. We don't want to play this game. We're not going to be beheaded. We're not going to sit here and listen to you complain and make a speech. We're done. I extended my hand to help Landon up. Thistle, Clove, Sam, and Marcus rose to their feet, too. We're going to go into the castle now, I said. We're going to find the great and powerful Tilly, and we're going to go home.
The great and powerful Tilly? Thistle asked.
Oh, I forgot you weren't there to hear that part, I said. Yeah, the bears told us. She lives in the castle.
Well, that figures, Thistle said. She's always had an inflated sense of ego.
I'm not sure that's true in this case, I said. She did create this world after all.
I guess, Thistle conceded. But it's just like her to put herself in charge of everything.
She's always been in charge of everything, I said. Let's go worship at her feet. I'm sure begging will be involved. And go home.
I'm with you, Thistle said. Let's kiss her royal butt and get out of here.
Has everyone forgotten who is in control here?
Mom asked, struggling to pull herself out of the narrow confines of her golden throne. Her dress was so wide it put up a fight.
I'm in control. I am. I have lists. Did you not hear me when I said I had lists?
I shot her a sympathetic look. I'm sure it's hard being you, I said. I think it's hard being all of us, though.
Even Aunt Tilly,
Clove added. I grabbed Landon's hand. Come, my prince, I said. We're done here. We pushed past the guards, who conveniently pretended they didn't see us. We were halfway down the path that led to the castle when Mom launched into one of her patented diatribes.
I'm so sick of this, she said. I can't tell you how sick of this I am. I'm the queen. I'm in charge. Does anyone listen to me, though? Of course not. It's all about the great and powerful Tilly. She's the one everyone listens to.
Life sucks, Chloe called over her shoulder.
And then you die, Thistle added, laughing.
I'm just sick of this, she said. I have to wear this stupid dress and no one listens to me. Well, I'm not taking one more second of this. I'm just done.
I risked a glance back at Mom, a momentary surge of pity washing over me. It will be better when we get home, I said. As long as you haven't been eaten by zombies or anything, that is.
Oh, I'm done playing nice,
Mom said, throwing her crown on the ground and kicking it angrily.
I'm so done! Guards! Guards! Off with their heads!
I froze at the command, and when the guards sprang into action, I realized we weren't quite out of the woods yet.
Run!
Do you really think they'll kill us?
Thistle asked, leaning against the outside castle wall, gasping. I think we're safe as long as we can get inside the castle, I said, pushing her forward. Move!
I'm tired.
The guards are still coming,
Landon said, stepping beside me and grabbing my wrist.
We have to get inside the castle.
Shouldn't there be more doors? Clove whined.
That would be too easy, I said. Now come on, we're so close I can almost taste it.
And by taste, I mean I can actually taste the real food waiting for us if we can manage to get out of this hateful place.
I want bacon, Landon said.
I'm going to glue bacon to my body and roll on top of you for an hour if we ever get out of here, I said.
Sold,
Landon said, increasing his pace.
The door should be around this corner. Come on.
Are you sure that the castle is the way out? Sam asked, pressing his hand against the small of Clove's back to prod her. Because she was the shortest, she was having the most trouble keeping up.
What if we have to go back down the beanstalk?
The bears told me this castle belongs to Aunt Tilly, I said. I believe them.
They also knew about the sacrifice.
Thanks for warning us, Thistle grumbled.
Hey, you guys were already gone when we found out, I said. Don't blame me for this. You could have screamed or something when they took you.
They had their hands over our mouths, Clove said.
And knives in our throats, Marcus added.
Everyone shut up and run, Landon said. There's the door.
We find Aunt Tilly and sit on her until she sends us home, I said. I'm out of patience.
And I want bacon,
Landon said, hopping up the steps and throwing his body weight against the castle door to open it.
This is it. This is going to be the end. If it's not, I'm sitting down on the floor and never moving again. This is all I can take. This is...
Good grief. Will you look at this place?
If your inner voice tells you something is too good to be true, tell it to shut up. Inner voices don't know anything but how to rain on your parade. They're real downers most of the time.
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up.
19.
Whoever said you can never have too much green was lying,
said Thistle as she screwed up her face while glancing around the castle foyer.
This is just horrible.
The castle had undergone yet another transformation. This one looked as though someone had put the Hulk in a blender and forgotten to put the top on before hitting the puree button.
Look,
Clove said, pointing at the floor.
The Yellow Brick Road is back.
I knew we were going to end at Oz, I said.
You're very smart, sweetie,
Landon said.
And you always have to be right, Thistle added.
Shut up, Thistle, I said.
You shut up.
Both of you shut up,
Landon said.
This is crunch time, people. We need a touchdown. We all have to work from the same playbook.
Have I ever told you how turned on I get when you use sports metaphors to rev us up? I asked.
No.
There's a reason, I said.
Landon rolled his eyes.
I think the bloom is off the rose for all of us, Marcus said. We're struggling here. Landon is right, though. We're close. We only have to get through one more story. Can we please try to refrain from killing each other until we're all back in the guest house?
I can't make that promise, Thistle said. I've been through a lot today.
We've all been through a lot,
Clove said.
Not really,
Thistle replied.
You got shoved in a tower for a bit and then got insulted by some dwarves who didn't like the way you sang. I had to kiss a frog.
Thanks again, honey, Marcus said.
Thistle ignored him.
I also had to kill a wolf, she said. I ate poisoned food and passed out. How does your day compare to mine?
You don't want to start comparing experiences, I warned.
You definitely don't,
Landon agreed.
You've all had it easy compared to us.
Wah, wah, wah.
Thistle danced around a little, something that was out of the ordinary, even when we weren't trapped in a book. We're being affected again, I said. I'm not sure by what, but this is the last obstacle. We can't succumb to it. Landon cracked his neck.
How can you tell?
Thistle just danced while insulting you, I said. She's not big on dancing.
She's right,
Thistle said, glancing down at her feet.
I have horrible rhythm. I don't dance unless it's a slow one, and I can let Marcus lead.
It's the only time I get to lead, Marcus said. Join the club,
Landon said, rubbing my back.
Okay, everyone, bite your tongues. Let's not talk unless we absolutely have to.
Everyone nodded and snapped their mouths shut. After a few minutes of staring at each other and hopping from foot to foot, I couldn't take it any longer. That's not going to work.
I'm sorry, Landon said. That was a bad idea.
Let's find the great and powerful Tilly and get out of here,
Thistle said.
If I jump on her, someone pull me off before I kill her. I'm afraid we'll be trapped here forever if I kill our get-out-of-Oz talisman.
I'll let you get in a few good looks first,
Landon said.
What? She has it coming.
Did someone say my name?
Aunt Tilly materialized out of nowhere, popping into existence a few feet from us. She was no longer dressed as a fairy godmother, instead wearing a camouflage dress with a wide belt cinched at her waist. Her face was serene as she bowed in front of us.
Welcome to my home. I'm going to kill you, old lady,
Thistle said, launching herself at Aunt Tilly and falling flat on the ground when Aunt Tilly disappeared.
Where did she go?
Clove asked.
I have no idea.
Don't do that again,
Landon ordered, wagging a finger in Thistle's face.
She obviously doesn't like being attacked.
No, she doesn't,
Aunt Tilly said, blinking back into existence on the velvet settee in the middle of the room. She glanced her fingernails, feigning boredom.
Besides that, you can't catch me. I'm quick, like a ninja.
I can make a really big rat trap and bait it with essence of evil,
Thistle growled.
Aunt Tilly was nonplussed.
I don't think that's going to work.
I do.
I don't.
I do. Let's get back on target, shall we?
Landon said, focusing on Aunt Tilly.
We're ready to go home.
And where is your home?
Aren't you the great and powerful Tilly, I asked. Shouldn't you know that?
Who says I don't?
Why would you ask if you didn't know?
Why do you care?
Aunt Tilly asked. She was so annoying. Even her alter egos were obnoxious. We want to go home, I said. We're really tired. We've worked our way through all the stories. I think we've earned our ruby slippers, or whatever weird thing you're going to give us to get us home. I'm guessing with you we're going to be tapping combat boots together.
What makes you think I can get you home?
Aunt Tilly asked.
I'm very good at what I do, but I'm not omnipotent.
That's not what you usually say, Clove grumbled.
Did you say something, dear?
I said your dress is beautiful, Clove said.
That's what I thought you said.
We've learned our lessons, I said, choosing my words carefully. Now we want to go home.
I'm not sure you have learned your lessons yet,
Aunt Tilly said.
You might have one left to learn.
No,
Landon said, emphatically shaking his head.
No more lessons. We're good.
Come on,
Aunt Tilly purred.
The last one will be easy, I promise.
What is it? I asked, resigned. Aunt Tilly pointed to a door at the far end of the room, and as if on cue, a group of people moved through it. I recognized each and every one of them, and I actually wished I had a camera. Marnie was there, struggling to move through a tin outfit as the joints made rusty creaking noises with every step. Chief Terry, dressed as a lion, held her steady at one side while a scarecrow that looked suspiciously like Twyla gripped her other arm. A green-skinned witch, my mother's going to be furious when I tell her how she looked in this one, cackled like a mad woman while several flying monkeys, which bore a striking resemblance to Aunt Willa, Rosemary, and Lila, flanked her.
What are we supposed to do with them? I asked, rubbing my forehead.
Can someone tell me why I'm even here?
Chief Terry asked.
I wasn't part of any of this. This is embarrassing.
Landon shot him a sympathetic look.
I think she just had a leftover role to fill.
At least you can walk,
Barney said.
Why am I the one who doesn't have a heart? I'm a very loving person. At least you have a brain,
Twyla said, miserable.
Why does everyone think I'm stupid? Hey, I'm the one with green paint seeping into my pores,
Mom snapped.
Do you have any idea how hard this crap is going to be to get off? Not to mention, this is the second ridiculous outfit I've been dressed in, and both characters have been less than flattering.
That's a nice way of saying you're a villain,
Thistle said.
Don't feel bad. Everyone's been hinting that I'm a villain for the past, what, 12 hours? I'm beyond it.
Clearly, I said. It's not as though you're dwelling on it at all.
Shut up, Bay, Thistle said.
Can someone explain why I'm a monkey?
Lila asked. I think it's an improvement, I said.
I'm never going to forget this, Aunt Willa said. I have a long memory, and I'm going to make whoever did this pay.
Shh,
Aunt Tilly said, lifting her finger to her lips.
No one cares what you have to say.
Aunt Willa scowled.
This is so disrespectful.
I kind of like it,
Rosemary said, running her fingers over the fur.
It's warm and cozy.
Shut up, Rosemary, Aunt Willa said.
No one asked you.
I honestly don't get it, I said, shifting my attention back to Aunt Tilly. What are we supposed to do with them?
You can kill me if you want,
Chief Terry said, raising his hand and causing Marnie to pitch forward.
Get me out of this outfit right now!
Marnie struggled to avoid toppling over.
I have an idea,
Thistle said, striding over to a table on the far side of the room. She yanked the green carnations from a vase and tossed them on the floor before walking over to my mother.
I'm really sorry about this. She tossed the water in Mom's face and took a step back.
What the hell?
I couldn't believe she did that. When Mom didn't immediately start melting, I relaxed, if only marginally. I don't think that worked.
I'm going to ground you all within an inch of your lives, Mom said. I'm going to put a whole list of punishments together, and I'm going to love doling out each and every one.
Ignore her, Aunt Tilly said. She's talking nonsense, like always. Well, it was worth a shot, Thistle said, shoving the vase onto another table and flopping onto the seat next to Aunt Tilly. I'm out of ideas. I want to go home. Aunt Tilly smiled.
I didn't say you had to solve a puzzle, she said. I said you had to learn a lesson.
What lesson?
I can't tell you what the lesson is, Aunt Tilly said. You have to figure it out yourself. That's how Tilly's world works.
You name the book world after yourself? Thistle asked, incredulous.
That's so genius, Aunt Tilly supplied.
I was going to say narcissistic, Thistle replied. Aunt Tilly glared at her.
I don't need this. I'm a very busy woman. I don't have to sit here and take your abuse. I'm not the one who wants out of here.
Oh, please, Aunt Tilly, I said, hating how whiny I sounded. We're sorry. We're really sorry. We're sorry we yelled at you. We're sorry we threatened you. Heck, we're sorry we ever laughed at you. We're sorry for every rotten thing we ever did to you.
Go on, Aunt Tilly said, clearly enjoying herself.
We want to go home, Landon said. I've never wanted any one thing more than I want to be able to roll over in a bed and realize that I'm not alone and we're not about to be attacked by something or threatened by something or even simply annoyed by something.
His words tugged at my heart and pricked at my brain. We're ready to go home, I said, grabbing Landon's hand. After all, there's no place like home.
Aunt Tilly jumped to her feet. See? Was that so hard? That's it.
Thistle's eyebrows flew up to her forehead.
That's all you wanted.
I'm easy to please, Aunt Tilly said. Thistle looked as if she was about to argue, but Marcus wisely clapped his hand over her mouth.
You're very easy to please, he said.
Aunt Tilly winked at him and then waved her hands dramatically. After a brief burst of light, the rejects from Oz who resemble her family disappeared, along with the horrid green interior of the castle. And we found ourselves standing in an almost empty parlor. The only things in the room were two pedestals. A pair of ruby slippers sat on one, and a gold lamp rested on the other.
Which way do you want to go? Aunt Tilly asked.
Which one is quickest?
Landon asked.
The shoes,
Aunt Tilly said.
We'll take the shoes.
The lamp is more fun, though, Aunt Tilly said. It involves a magic carpet ride through the heavens before you land back home in your beds. I hear it's to die for.
I really don't care, Landon said. Really? A magic carpet ride?
Aunt Tilly nodded. Landon glanced at me.
One more adventure couldn't hurt, could it?
I smirked. I don't think we'll ever run out of adventures, I said, blinking my fingers with his. I'm in for the magic carpet ride, too. I can't think of a better way to get home. I bolted to a sitting position, my eyes searching the inky black for a hint of movement or familiarity. I was in a bed, although the quiet didn't offer any hints about whether or not it was my own. I instinctively reached to the other side of the mattress, almost crying when I felt the empty spot. Something moved beside me on the other side, and I felt Landon's arm wrap around my waist.
I'm right here, Bay.
Where are we?
Home.
He sounded sleepy. Did you just...
Go to sleep, sweetie,
he said, pulling me tight against him.
We'll talk about it in the morning.
But did that happen? Was it real? Was it a dream?
Come on, princess,
Landon murmured, settling me next to him and burying his face against my neck.
We'll have a new adventure to grapple with in a few hours.
Despite my uncertainty, I gave in and cuddled into him. Even if this was a dream, it was the best one I'd had in, well, forever. There's no place like home, I muttered.
You're still giving me bacon in the morning.
A dream is a wish that hasn't come true yet. And sometimes it's just a bunch of crap that happened throughout the day, jumbled up in a ridiculous way.